it's time for another round of racing and rocking with Dragnest.com. Staging in the wet plane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Pratt. And in the right lane, John, the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight, because tonight we feature the triumphant return of Tanner Gray. That's right. We had him on about a month and a half ago, and we said, come back when you win. And he went out within a month and won, and here he is. I love it. You can join our live chat during the show. Go to racersreunion.com. I hear lots of folks in the background. Is that our friend Tanner?
Yes, sir.
Tanner Gray, welcome back to Racing and Rocking. How are you tonight?
Good, sir. How are you?
Doing great. So, you know, as I was just saying, you know, we had you on the show on March 6th. We said, go out there and take on the world in the NHRA Pro Stock category and come back after you win a special event this year. And, of course, we expected... Well, we knew it was going to happen sometime during the year with the Gray Motorsports gang. We didn't know it was literally going to happen within a month. I think 27 days later, you went out and won NHRA Las Vegas. Congratulations on that. And tell us about that big win.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You know, it was just a big team effort. And, you know, they gave me a great race car that weekend. And, you know, that was probably one of the best weekends I've drove and shifted. And that was probably the best race that, or the race that I've done the best job at so far. You know, but you know, the guys definitely make it a lot easier when they give you a consistent race car and a fast race car. You know, it's definitely easier when you have good equipment.
Of course, and you guys have the best. But nobody's out there, you know. Nobody's out there running, you know, jalopies on the NHRA Pro Stock Tour anymore. So it's a matter of making them, getting them tuned up right and dialed into the track, and then driving them.
Yes, sir, for sure. You know, like I said, just they gave me a great race car, and that was definitely the best weekend that I've drove. So. You know, I just honestly can't thank all them guys enough. You know, the guys back at the engine shop that had worked all winter, and you know, that was definitely the reason I was in the winner's circle at the end of the day, is all the hard work that our team has put into me and into the program.
Well, so fantastic. Well, you mentioned that you were shifting well that weekend, and can you actually tell that, you know, you're hitting the shift points a little bit better sometimes, or are you looking at the computers afterwards to validate that? How did you figure that out?
You know, like throughout the weekend, you can kind of get yourself in a rhythm, and you kind of know like that you're shifting good. But you know, you definitely go back at the computer at the end of the run and look at what you're shifting. But you know, while you're in the car, you know when you have a rhythm, and you know, it's sometimes it can be tough to get that rhythm, especially if you've struggled. The past weekend or the weekend before, if you struggle up to it, it takes a little bit to get back in that rhythm of shifting well. But now you definitely look at the computer after and just see where you're at.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, let's give you a little break. You're a rookie this year. You know, you're out there learning this stuff, and last time you were on, you say you learn everything for every single run, and of course that's true. But man, fantastic effort there, and to keep learning and to hit it. If you can feel like you're in that zone again, man, you know what that feels like now. It's something for you to try to aspire and get back to.
Yeah, yes, for sure. You know, this weekend I felt like I was a little off on the start line. You know, still had a good rhythm shifting, but I just wasn't hitting the tree as well as I wanted to, and. You know, I think that I was just too inconsistent throughout the weekend. You know, through qualifying, I was pretty consistently 20s, about mid-20s to high-20s, and then come for race day, I was 16 in the first round and then 30 in the second round, and 10 red against Jeg. So, you know, yeah. I definitely am going to go back this weekend and hit the tree and work on consistency for the four wides.
I tell you what, you know, I got a couple years under my belt here. I can remember a time when a 30 in pro stock consistently would have won you any race on the planet. I mean, back in the great, you know, early or the 80s, the 90s, when WJ in some cases was ruling the roost, and before he really started hitting the tree, I mean, he'd go a 5.14, you know, back in the days when we started with a 0.4 on the tree, you know, I mean, because he had the horsepower to pull it out. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes. No, you're fine. For sure, you know, anymore, a 30 is, I'd say, around an average light. You know, if I think you're going to go out there and go up against the people like Jeg and your Vincent Nobile and you know, Greg Anderson, you're going to have to go up there and be anywhere from 0 to team. And, you know, I think low 20s will get you by in the first few rounds if you're on someone. But, you know, once you get into the later rounds, I think you need to be a teen or an O, and you're going to have a fast race car, you know?
Wow. It's like a super pro race car anymore. It's not like pro stock anymore. It's like you're running, you know, the number in a super pro race Saturday night at a 500, you know, car event. Pretty amazing.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely gotten a lot tougher over the years as far as on the starting line.
Well, tell us, let's visit with Las Vegas one more time before we move on. You single-handedly, it was interesting to me. I was looking at the Minneapolis, Minnesota paper that weekend, and, of course, they were loving their hometown boys, the guys that were from up there. So you literally took out the whole Ken Black Motorsports team, the mighty, mighty Summit guys. You know, Greg Anderson, Jason Lyne, and then Bo Butner. I mean, you took out the entire team by yourself single-handedly. That was, you know, just the way the ladder fell, but it's pretty interesting. I don't know if anyone else has ever done that. I'd have to look at the ladders and call old Lewis Bloom and see if anybody did that to, like, the three Force cars or the three Schumacher cars. But that was an interesting statistic I noticed today. And they were crying about it up in the Twin Cities. They were saying, man, this guy took us out.
Yeah, no, you know, Dave did a great job critiquing the car, and I was hitting the street well that day, you know. But I think the only time that we got outran that day was in the final round against Bo, and you know, we had him covered 700 on the start line. So you know, it was a big team effort, and you know, without a fast race car, we wouldn't have been there.
Now, no doubt, the guys back at the engine shop and all the guys setting up on the race day are taking care of you, and you're doing your job too. Let's bring it forward here. I mean, it's, you know, knew this was having to come. The talk of the internet is a little altercation in Houston yesterday between you and the Gas Monkey Energy guy, Mr. Alex Laughlin. Just drop it. Take us through that deal and kind of what folks are talking, and of course all kinds of opinions flying around, but tell us from your point of view what happened and where you're going from here.
You know, it's just an unfortunate deal, and you know, I probably shouldn't have said anything at the other end of the racetrack, but you know, I feel like he probably shouldn't have been running his mouth on social media, you know. So I think there's definitely fault at both parties, and you know, I just gonna you know, not worry about them, ignore everything they do or have to say, and go on and focus on winning races. You know, I definitely think that took away some of my focus for Houston, and you know, if I wouldn't have been so focused on Alex and the elite team, then maybe I wouldn't have been 10 red, or I could have been better on the tree. I mean, you know, I don't really know, but you know, I know that it definitely takes a lot of energy out of you and a lot of focus away from the program when you're worrying about fighting with other people out there, you know. And to me, it's not really worth it. And you know, I'm gonna go on and do my deal, and you know, if they continue to run their mouth, then that's their choice. But, you know, our team's just not going to worry about it. We're going to focus on our program, and we're going to go out there and try to win races.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah, I didn't know any of the front story, but I didn't know if it was like some deal where was it a burn down situation? And if you don't want to go on with it, I mean, I'm cool. But was, you know, was it?
No,
it was. Go
it
ahead.
It was just there was a lot of small things that led up to one big thing. You know, there was a lot of things last year that Alex did and blamed the car for, and then, you know, this year when he switched over to Elite, there was a lot of bad mouthing our guys and everybody who helped him get started in a pro stock car. You know, there was a lot of bad mouthing those guys, and I just felt like it was a big slap in the face to those guys, because, you know, they worked hard to give him a good race car, and then he turns around and slaps him in the face like that. But you know, like I said, none of us are really worried about what they do. You know, if they want to continue to run their mouth, and that's their choice. But we're gonna go out and focus on winning races and try to win the championship.
Well, that sounds good. Well, action speaks louder than words, as they say. And you know, the thing is, you're down on yourself a little bit for yesterday. But you know, the race I was watching, you made it to the semis, so you're racking up some points. You went out and won one more race in this incredibly difficult category. You did go red by a little bit, but I mean, that's racing, right? That's what old Don Garlett said. You don't go red every now and then. You're not racing. You're just riding along.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was my fault. The reason we went red, obviously. I felt like I was missing the tree a little bit all day, and I adjusted the linkage to try to speed me up. And I guess I was a little more focused, or whatever the case may be, there with Jeg, and just turned the red light on. You know, I mean, there's no excuse for that. You know. You know, when a driver red lights, it's 100% the driver's fault. Left too early. You know, I know there was a little bit of talk about the rollout being messed up or whatnot, but, you know, that's just, I don't know. In my opinion, it's just when you turn the red light on, driver's fault, nothing you can do about it. Go back and regroup for next weekend.
Well, it sounds good. I mean, that's the healthy way to look at it. And I mean, everybody's running on the same racetrack, right? That's the thing to think about. I mean, you got to run the racetrack. If they were all identical, then there would be, you know, less sport to it, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. You know, that's definitely my opinion on it. You know, it's like anything else. Even in circle track racing, you know, I run better on a dry slick track, but I can't get upset when the track gets heavy and say it's not fair, you know?
Right, you got it. Well, good way to go. Well, I'm looking at the old point standings here, and you know, for as hard on yourself as you are about yesterday, Anderson, Butner, Line, Coughlin by 2 points over Mr. Tanner Gray, who's in number 5. So very, very healthy. And then Dad is right after you, you know, about 100 points down, and the rest of the field. So you're doing great. And just congrats. Keep on rocking it.
I appreciate it, guys. Yeah, we're just going to go out there and, like I said, just keep digging and try to go some rounds. See if we can't win a couple more races.
Sounds good. Let me ask you one more thing. So you're, you know, rookie pro stock year. So you're coming up on the 4 wides down at Charlotte, which is unique, 4 at a time. Tell us what your strategy is going into that race, and like, did Dad offer any unique advice, or how are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, you know, he gave me a little bit of advice, but you know, I think one of the biggest pieces is you know, you're just going to have to go out there and experience it for yourself. You know, I think it just depends on who you are. There's some people that handle it differently than others, and you know, we'll just have to see how I adapt to it. You know, I think as long as you focus on your bold and make sure that you're in more than anything, then you know, it'll take a little bit of the pressure off. I definitely don't think you should be going there trying to play games and play games up on the starting line. And I think as long as you focus on your bold and make sure that you're in, then you should at least have a chance at it, you know?
Sounds good. Pretty awesome. Yeah, it's, you know, I've never done it. I mean, it's hard enough for me to ride a drive a streetcar next to another guy, but that's, there's a lot to concentrate on. People who don't realize, they think you just go out there and mash it and point. There's a lot to think about, especially leaving the starting line. And, you know, I can't imagine having to kind of deal with four. There's no way to keep it all right in your head. You got to just do your own job.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah. It's kind of important you go up there and run your race and not worry about who's in the other lane. And just do your deal.
Sounds so cool. Well, you know, it's only been about 6 weeks now, so I guess this won't change much. But I did want to ask John if he wanted to pick your brain about some racing music. Are you, have you changed any of those answers in a couple weeks?
not really. You know, country, just hanging out, and you know, when I'm trying to get amped up or whatever the case might be, you know, I'd probably listen to a little bit of rap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Tanner. You know, I come from the old school and everything, and I was familiar with the old-time rappers, the guys that came out in the late 80s and early 90s. Is the modern stuff, do you think it's better than what they had back then, or is it more profound or meaningful in today's life?
You know, I don't know about that. You know, I actually am a fan of old rap. You know, I love NWA and stuff like that, but you know, I definitely like some of the new stuff too. There's a lot of new stuff that I don't like, but you know, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Kendrick Lamar, but I'm a fan of his new album that just came out. And you know, I like the old stuff too. I'm kind of easy going with all that stuff. You know, I mean, if I get in a car and someone's got rock and roll on, then you know, I'm cool with listening to that too.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I was down at the track Friday, and I looked for y'all, and I couldn't find your pit, man. I went all over the place because I was going to
go,
hey, you know, yeah, we got Tanner Gray coming up on the show Monday, and I wanted to get a picture, but unfortunately, I couldn't find your pit, and then I couldn't find my car at the end of the night, so we ended up staying there until almost 11 o'clock, man.
Really?
But I've got, I believe you're on a straight track to Rookie of the Year, and I have, you know, the Road to the Future, I have no doubt that that's yours, man. Well, you can just step in and take it.
Well we appreciate it. It'll definitely be tough with TJ and Johnny and just everybody who else is who involved. You know, I know Johnny's been to two finals and three races or something like that, so you know, he's definitely looking good too. And I know TJ's definitely going some rounds too, so you know, it'll be tough, but you know, if we get it done, that'd be great.
That's cool. Yeah, long season with two big names there, you know, for sure.
Yes, sir. So,
well, John, what do you think? For your any more music questions, or let this young man hit the
Well, you know, we talked a lot about that last time Tanner was on the show just a few weeks ago, and you know, where I came from, it was we had Dr. Dre, we had Coolio, we had Public Enemy, Ice-T, and those guys, you know.
And, yes, sir, I'm familiar with a little bit of that.
Yeah, Ice-T went legit, you know. He's a frontline actor now, and I think he's really good. Actually, there's a lot more talent involved with him than just what he did in rap. He was a dancer. He was a musician. He did all kinds of things, you know, and his acting just, it seemed like he just fell naturally into it. And I always appreciated that. And I saw Ice-T live at Lollapalooza, and I enjoyed his show the best. I thought he was fantastic, man. I mean, did I say Ice Cube or Ice-T?
Ice-T.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was Ice Cube. And Ice Cube is acting now, too, you know, so.
He's in some funny movies.
Yeah, just so it wasn't Vanilla Ice, John, we wouldn't let you get away with that, man. That would not be good.
No, you know, although I did appreciate some of his stuff and everything, but I thought there was more image than substance involved with Ice, with Vanilla Ice, and Ice Cube was funny. I mean, that's the thing about some of those things. My son took me to a Marilyn Manson concert, for instance. And I thought he was funny, you know. A lot of people get upset about him, but that's, he's got you right where he wants you, if that's what it does to you, you know. And,
all right, man. Well, you know what, John and Tanner, I think Tanner's got a lot of the pro stock field right where he wants them to. And I got to say goodnight, but thanks so much for coming back on. Really appreciate it. I'm afraid, you know, we almost want to wish you back after your next big win. It might happen at the Four Whites. We might be your lucky.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm hoping so.
Good luck, Tanner.
Well, if we can do a tiny little part of that, we're proud of it. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Tanner. Really appreciate it. Best of luck at Charlotte and the rest of the season.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Tanner Gray, NHRA Pro Stock driver. Big, big win down in Las Vegas and looking for some more. Let's turn it over to John Bachleman for this week's JB's Take and the Racer of the Week. John, thank you, sir.
Thank you, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Crazy Jason Smith from Frederick, Maryland. Jason was recommended to me by our friend and founder of the Mid-Atlantic Street Outlaws, Dwayne Morris. Thanks, Dwayne. I'd also like to thank Lethal Shutter Promotions, who have let me know that I am welcome to use any of their photos to produce Racer of the Week graphics with. I always credit the photographers when I can find the photo credits, but I downloaded LSP's logo, and it's always on the graphics I make for the Mid-Atlantic group. Thanks, guys. Now, to say that Jason Smith is a nonconformist would be a gross understatement. He's involved in more projects and activities than any four guys could stay busy with. I talked to Jason on the phone, and we had a lengthy and informative visit. I promised to focus mainly on the car I'm featuring tonight, but it's safe to say that Jason's street legal 27 Model T hot rod is far from the only iron he has in the fire. He also races drag bikes. He works on Steve Johnson's Pro Stock bike team. He owns and runs Right Away Powder Coating in Middletown, Maryland, and he has involvement in several more projects that are at this time being completed, which will be announced soon. I guarantee mind-blowing results when they're done. And Jason's been racing in the IDBL for the last few years. His passion for drag bikes is second only to his love of all things hot rod. The International Drag Bike League Facebook page and website show it as the largest motorcycle drag racing series, and Jason is all in on it. But it's easy to get off topic here. Getting back to Jason's amazing hot rod, he's a winner in the MASO group, but not without some controversy. Yes, the car is street legal, but it is registered as a 1927 Model T Roadster. Modern rules don't apply to it, same as it would if it was a 1997 Ford Mustang, you see. Some folks have complained that it's an altered with current license plates, and Jason doesn't entirely disagree, but the car is legal for the series and for the street. The engine powering the car to high 4-second ETs in the eighth mile is a 540 cubic inch big block Chevy running an 871 supercharger, a turbo 400 transmission, zoomy headers, which are legal for street use according to the 1927 registration, and it uses alcohol for fuel. And Jason keeps drag slicks on the car, and he occasionally takes it for a spin around town, turning heads everywhere he goes with it. He said he can go about 20 miles before he runs low on fuel. I say, let the good times roll. He also told me that the series he runs in doesn't measure ETs and miles per hour, as it's not a bracket or a class series. I hope I got that right. It's just old school heads up drag racing. Whoever gets there first wins. He told me about his next project, which is in the works at this time and will be completed within the next few weeks. The 2017 Roadster will still run, but wait till you see what he's going to do next. In my opinion, it will far exceed anything he's done yet, and I can't wait to hear the results. Jason sends special thanks to Nelson Grimes. Nelson is Jason's mentor, and he is also an amazing painter. This was his car many years ago, and Jason is grateful for Nelson's help, his input, and his guidance. Drag racing is innovation in motion, and Jason Smith exemplifies that phrase. He's well known and respected for his work ethic, his easygoing personality, and his amazing ability to think outside the box and put his ideas into reality. I have always admired that quality in people, and I have no doubt that Jason will continue to compete and win with this complex and highly original hot rod. Jason, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. JB's take and the racer of the week. Great stuff, as always. Let's talk about our sad duty this week. Some lost friends. We have five names to mention this week and some big ones, folks. On the 18th, we lost Roland Osborne from Chrysler Power Magazine. Farewell, Roland. On the 19th, Randy Payne, one of the top early funny car and pro stock racers from the Big South. They drove cars called Mr. Big Stuff and many other cars, one of the contemporaries of Dino Don and many other guys down that way. Randy Payne, farewell, sir. On the 20th, this is tough, a young person, Ronnie Niswanger Jr., only 44 years old, a racer down from Texas, passed away. Ronnie, farewell to you, sir. On the 21st, Vivian Mossy. She and her late husband Dick were previous owners of Quaker City Motorsports Park, we all know and love from the Funny Car Nationals. Vivian, farewell to you, ma'am. And just today, a gentleman I happen to know, Roy Steffi, he was a crew chief for Fast Eddie Sharpman when Eddie was driving those great Logie funny cars back in the late 60s. He's also obviously on the famous Logie, Marsh, and Steffi Top Fuel team from the 60s, one of the great cars out of the Midwest then. And we know him and love him as a Standard 1320 online group member. I've probably known Roy now online and having met him at the races here and there for about 20 years. Really, really, just a sterling gentleman, and a lot of us know him and love him. Passing away just today, Roy Steffi. Farewell to you, sir. Let's wrap up the show. We want to thank Tanner Gray, John Bachman, of course, my outstanding co-host, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud Mr. Drag News DeBoer, the dynamic duo of show producers getting us the great talent. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you next Monday night for another great guest, and I hope you have a fabulous week. Adios, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
And get ready for some racing.